Welcome to the Scribble a Dream podcast, where expats, immigrants, foreigners, or whatever you want to call them, share their stories about living in smaller Dutch cities and towns. Hi, I'm Sora, your host, better known as Scribble a Dream, and today I have Anna Maria from Romania on the podcast.
Hi.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So, Anna Maria, you moved from Romania to Breda. Can you tell us a little bit about why you moved here? How long ago did you move here?
Yeah, so first time I moved here in 2014, I think, for my husband. Well, on that time we were not married, but yeah, for love. So I moved for love. And I stayed here one, two years, I think. And then my husband got a project in Abu Dhabi. And then we moved for 5 years. And then we came back here again. So it's like in two rounds.
And do you like living here?
Yes, for me it's interesting because, yeah, I had to first time go Romania, Breda, Abu Dhabi. Abu Dhabi back in Breda, so sometimes it feels like it's a lot because you have to reintegrate and everything, but it's interesting. It has positive and negative parts as well. So
what are the biggest differences between like Romania and Abu Dhabi and the Netherlands?
I think it's a bit difficult to compare because you can maybe compare Romania with Netherlands, but because it's part of Europe. But when it's about Abu Dhabi, that's a different culture. It's something completely different. But I do miss every day the sun and the light. It was very warm in Abu Dhabi, 60 degrees. So at a certain point, I felt there that, okay, I want to go back to Breda because it's more nature, fresh air, and you have all seasons. But I think if it's something that I miss every day, it's indeed the sun and the more light. And maybe, I don't know, it's people are different, you know. But this is something similar. For example, in Romania and in Abu Dhabi, we are both raised, or at least I was raised, in a bit more religious environment. So for me, it was not difficult to adapt in Abu Dhabi, you know. And I loved to learn about culture and about a new religion. And I also went in the prayer room with the people. So, yeah, it's something that you do not really have in the Netherlands.
No, definitely not.
No. So I was also raised in, and a bit, it's like very emotional and emotional intelligence, you know, it was something very important, something that, you don't really find here in Holland. So this is a bit different, yes.
And how long have you been living in Breda or the Netherlands this time?
So I moved, it was after COVID, so 3 years, yes.
I feel like anyone who moved here during COVID is like amazing because that was such a hard time, especially to make friends and...
Yeah, indeed, it's true. But on my case, because I came here first time in 2014. So after 5 years in Abu Dhabi, I thought that I will find the same friends, you know, after 5 years, the same people. But it was completely different. It was during COVID time. So, you couldn't really meet people and visit family members and everything. I think I found Breda different after 5 years, not only because of the COVID period, but for example, in 2014, when I used to go in town and in the shops, nobody was speaking English with me. And if I was trying to speak in English, everybody starts to look weird or get a bit stressed. And during COVID time, when I came back, I found Breda way more international, way more. I think I found all kind of WhatsApp groups for expat people and humans in Breda. So it's developed from this perspective, it was much better. Only it was still COVID, so you couldn't really entertain and enjoy. But I think it was completely different from this point of view. So Breda grew from international perspective, which is good for us as expats. I call myself still expat, but my husband is saying you are not an expat anymore because you are married with me and I'm Dutch. So it's funny how he's like, no, you are not expat. And I still feel that I am, you know. So it's different, yeah.
But you guys speak in Dutch together?
No. So we got used to speak English and it's easier. I know it's way better for me if we'll communicate only in Dutch, but I must admit that at a certain point I get tired. My husband also works in an international company where he speaks English nonstop. So for him, it's not difficult to switch. But we have moments when we make fun and we try to speak in English or to speak in Dutch. But yeah, I got so used to speaking English and I feel more comfortable, you know. I remember when I moved here first time, I was trying to find some Dutch courses and I had to wait 8 months or something. Yeah, in 2014, it was completely different. So then I got some classes at the university in Breda, and we were trying to study together, or he was helping me with the homework and everything. And I don't know, we always got into fight. So I said, okay, because probably he had expectations, you know, like for him, everything was so logical and normal. And for me, it was like, I don't understand why it's like this, why, you know, so we stopped doing this. So I was doing all my homework alone and trying to find every word and understand. But yeah, it didn't work in our case to study together, you know, because when you have expectation, then you might end up into a fight or yeah.
I totally understand because Kevin and I, we mostly speak in English together and I can get quite frustrated when people start correcting me. I understand that we need to be corrected to learn, but it's one thing to be corrected like by a teacher. It's another thing to be corrected by someone you love, you know? And it's just like, for me, it's just like, I just get frustrated.
Yeah, it was not, I don't know. In my case, it's not about that he tries to correct me. I think it was just about the fact that he thought that for him, it's so normal to understand and the things are so logical, you know. And for me, Dutch is nothing logical, you know. It's even if you ask them why it's the instead of het or things like this, some people don't know how to explain or, you know. So I said, okay, I think I have my own way of studying and understanding things, which can be completely different than his way. So that's why I said, no. And in time, I've learned that, I can manage. I can handle alone. I can send emails alone. I can, you know, it's like, because like this, you learn as well.
Absolutely. And you just got to be forced into it, no matter how uncomfortable you
are. Yes, yes. And it's normal to make mistakes. You know, I'm not Dutch, so I don't mind to make mistakes, and probably I will always make mistakes. And it's funny when I try to speak Dutch, my husband, he always has a smile on his face, and I'm like, why smiling? It's like, your accent, it's like a combination between Romanian and English, your Dutch accent, you know? So I said, oh gosh. So no matter how much I try, the moment I open my mouth and I speak in Dutch, even I try to do it in an accent, and everybody will notice I'm not Dutch, you know? So then it's like, okay, she's not Dutch. Like, things goes different. Yeah, it's funny, but in the same time, sometimes it's frustrating as well.
So you work for the Dutch government as a social worker. I don't know if you work for the government or like an agency.
It's an organization and it's part of the gemeente in the city hall in the Netherlands.
And what's that like? Can you tell us a little bit about like social work in the Netherlands versus maybe Romania or Abu Dhabi? I don't know if you worked in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, I worked as a coach, but there is no social service in Abu Dhabi because they do not need so much. So we can compare it a bit with Romania, where I worked also as a social worker. Only in Romania I worked more with children. and teenagers. And here in the Netherlands, I work more with families and people in need. Yeah, so it's for example, I work with migrants from European Union that comes in the Netherlands, and they face all kind of life challenging, you know, from losing their job, ending up on the streets, I have a lot of cases where people, they just find out that there is a job on internet or on Facebook and they can pick up and they can just come in Holland. They end up here and they have nothing because nobody's answering the phone. And when you pick up a job from internet, it's nothing serious. And I was so surprised to see how many people are doing this. And I'm talking about people that come from European Union. I worked a lot with Romanian people as well because everybody in Holland knows our organization and they know we have employers that speak multiple languages. So it's easy to approach us. And most of the time, the people that are coming here, they do not have a high education and it's difficult for them to communicate. So, yeah, it's sometimes it's scary to see all these kind of things. For me, it was also something new. Because I didn't work with this specific group in Romania. So, like this, I've learned a bit how government works in the Netherlands. And also, you learn that if you don't have social rights in the Netherlands, which means to be here for 5 years in a row, so continuously 5 years and having in this time to have a job as well. So this means you have social rights in the Netherlands. And if you have some issues like homeless, for example, they might be able to help you to get a house. Otherwise, if you don't have any social rights, you have nothing. If you don't have a job and you end up on the streets, the Dutch government cannot really help you.
That's crazy to hear because that's really opposite of what we hear, you know, like especially in the US, you hear all the time like how incredible European countries are in general, not specifically the Netherlands. And people expect it to be like perfect and life is like 100% amazing. And there are amazing things about living here and life is very, like, much, much better here, but there still are people who struggle.
Yeah, indeed. It's true. I think a lot of people are coming here thinking that life or thinking that Dutch government can give them everything. I had cases where people from Romania were all frustrated and thinking like, yeah, but why they don't give me a house and why you don't give me a job and why... And I try to explain them that, you know, nobody will start calling the agencies, the employment agency for you. You have to do this, you know. And like, yeah, but why they don't give me a house? And so they come with certain expectations without knowing the rules. Because actually in every country there are rules. Yeah, it's, for example, during the winter time when the temperature drops under 0 degrees, then they opened the Nachtopvang, so it's a night shelter where people can sleep, and they get some food. But this is only during the night, and during the day they have to end up on the street if they don't have a place where to stay. So the situation is it's challenging. Because there are more and more European Union people that come here without being informed about the reality, or they come here thinking that, okay, I go to the Netherlands and I will find a job there, when actually you have to try to find a job from your own country and then find all the details and ask if the job doesn't exist or things like this, not ended up here without having anything. Because then it's normal that you will be on the streets. So, and also I think it comes from the fact that people are, they are not educated, you know. They live or they come from poor areas, you know, from Europe. And it's sad because we all, I also had a situation of families coming here with kids. So they just end up in Holland having nothing with 2-3 kids. And when I was like, but the kids need to be in school. What are you doing here? You know, it's, yeah, it's, I can understand also there, you never know why they come. I mean, you know, definitely they come because they want a better life, you know, but you don't come like this without knowing the rules, without understanding a bit the reality. It's sad, but there are so many. And especially in the big cities like Amsterdam, Den Haag, Rotterdam is just crazy. So sometimes I was thinking, maybe my life would have been different if I lived in Den Haag or in Amsterdam from expats' point of view. And also, I think it's way easier to get a job in those areas because I don't think you really need to speak Dutch. When in Breda, for example, everybody speaks only Dutch. Yeah, big city comes also with other challenges. And I remember I went recently to Brussels or somewhere, and I saw so many homeless people. And I was like, and you know you are facing this daily with your work. And it's like when you have a free day, like you do not want to really see this anymore. But you in your head still starts playing the idea, okay, but who's helping them? Which organization can do something for them? Because in the end, if you, especially during the winter time, if you don't know, they can just die on the streets because it's very cold. So, from this point of view, from the dark laws, from the homeless people, it's a big issue in the Netherlands. But I think they are working hard on this. The Dutch government to really help, and they are creating all kind of information points where they have employer that speaks multiple languages. So in case somebody is coming there and doesn't speak English or Dutch, then they can communicate in their own language. So I hope things will get better.
I've heard multiple times that, like, people are homeless in the Netherlands because they want to be homeless. Like, if they didn't want to be homeless or on the streets, they wouldn't be, because the Dutch government has all these services. Or people are homeless because they're mostly on drugs. Like, what do you think of that, since you work in this environment?
I think each case is different. Only by thinking that you end up, maybe you have no addiction, you know? Maybe you got fired, you know, and then you ended up on the street because, most of the employment agency, they also offer the accommodation. So if you get fired, then you don't have an accommodation anymore. So they end up on the street. And of course, it's difficult to manage the situation, even if you don't have any addiction, even if you have no traumas, even, you know, it's difficult to, I also wonder, is it possible for me to sleep 2 nights on the streets with all my knowledge and all my experience, you know, because it's very traumatical and you can get very scared, you know. So it depends. Each case is different. But indeed, a lot of them, as I said, comes from poor areas where they have no knowledge or education. A lot of them, they have all kind of addictions, it's true. So then the situation is a bit complicated. But even like this, I have I had a case with a guy who was addicted, alcohol addiction. And he almost died during the summertime. It was also hot and with the alcohol and some health issues. But somehow he managed to switch his mind, you know. He is a very intelligent guy, but due to some family issues, he ended up on the streets. But he's extremely smart. So the moment he tried to switch his mind and say, okay, I have to stand and I have to take care of me. Then he ended up, because I know we are having fun, because he ended up at a very good company. His salary was very, very high. So he was very good paid. So I was so proud of him, you know. And so I decided that every week, it was in my agenda, every week I try to send him at least one message on WhatsApp to ask how are you feeling. And every time he was saying the same thing, that he's doing very good. And he's very happy, and he also invited me out for dinner because he wanted to thank me for everything that happened.
Aww.
So these things happens multiple times, but it was just in my agenda that I was so proud of him that I wanted to motivate him even more every week, because then you get so many clients and it's just out of your mind. But then that's why I set it in my agenda that I really want to keep close to this person, to, because it was also an example for me, you know. It's like, because we really thought he will pass away. He was not well at all. And unfortunately, if you are homeless and you don't have a health insurance, it's difficult for the hospital to accept you and to give you help. They are trying, but yeah, if you are sick and you drink a lot and you have all kind of issues, they cannot do it all the time. So maybe you are accepted once in the emergency room. Yeah, but after that, it's difficult if you have no insurance, nothing. So it's, it for me, it's just one of the many examples that I've met. So each case is different. But indeed, I would say 70% of them are, they are having all kind of addictions.
Speaking of salaries, in the U.S., social workers barely make any money. What's it like in the Netherlands?
What do you mean barely? I mean, they get paid, right?
But like just above minimum wage, which is very low for the work that you guys do.
Yeah. I think also in Holland, it's a lot about voluntary work, a lot as well. But of course, they have also employers and everything. I don't know. I think it's good paid. Now depends, of course, of your education and of your experience and how old you are and which group you are working with. I think it's good paid, especially if you are in a governmental place. I think it's fine. So,
but is it like, so every state in the U.S. has like a different minimum wage and no one's making $7.25 an hour, barely anyone. That's like the federal minimum wage. But I was talking about more like minimum, like what people make at like McDonald's, like then social workers make just above that or something.
Oh, but I don't really know how much you get paid if you work at McDonald's, because then you get paid per hour, right, at McDonald's.
I think the minimum wage in the Netherlands for like a 40-hour contract, don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure it's just over 11 euros an hour.
But I think this is also regarding how old you are, because if you are a student, you might get paid less than... For example, I saw an advertising at the Jumbo. It was exactly between 18 and 22 years old, you get X per hour. Between 25 years old and 30 years old, you get a bit more per hour. So I think it depends on the age.
The minimum wage in the Netherlands is actually till you're 21. So from 21, the minimum is for everyone the same, like the minimum that you have to make. And then when you're like 14, you make a certain amount, 15, 16, keeps going up until you're 21.
And then you get paid
the same, but the companies same. Can choose to, they have to pay you that minimum and then they can pay you more,
and
obviously.
Then, yeah. I wouldn't say an exactly amount, you know, but I will say that when they see that you have a lot of experience and education, they are very proud, and I think they consider this. So they they really look at this as well. If you have, so then your salary can be in between, and also depends how. Another thing I've learned, I didn't know. Most of the people in Netherlands that works in the social system, they work 4 days per week only, because the cases are very difficult. It's not only emotional, but it's even more. So, yeah, I had a chat with somebody about this. I didn't know. Then they said, yes, everybody in the social field, they try to work 4 days because it's complicated. It's, yeah. So then they want to have some peace in their head as well, in their mind. And so you need to reevaluate. It's sometimes it's not, I like to work with people instead of working with a computer, you know. So,
yeah.
But then this comes also with other things, because, yeah, you can be very detached, you know. So in the but every time when I talk with people, the message comes to me, really. I mean, it's there. It's not like it's going near my head or my ears. So then I get involved and I'm thinking of that situation, even in the evening when I come home, or when I go to sleep and I try to fall asleep. Of course, the cases, they are popping up in my head, and you are thinking, how can you help better and faster, or these kind of things. But I also had a chat with somebody, a Dutch person, about this situation, and that person was looking, it was working in the emergency room in the hospital. And you know, I had a bike accident, and I had to go to the emergency room for some stitches, and I didn't like, and I didn't want. So we were trying to move my mind to other subjects. So she was stitching my knee, and we had a conversation like about this, like how, because yeah, in emergency room you get also complicated situation. And. And I was asking her how you cope with not thinking when you arrive back home at what happened at your work during the day. And she said, I do not have this. So once I'm out of the hospital, everything is out.
That is crazy.
There is not. And I was like, okay, my mind was not on the stitches anymore, which was good. But I realized that I'm not there. And I don't know if I will ever be like this. Because in general, I'm very emotional, and you know, I get involved. That's why maybe I like to work with people, and I know I'm good of this. But sometimes it's also necessary to be detached, you know, because yeah, work is work, and private life is private life, and it will be good to learn how to separate these things. But in my case, it's sometimes it's a lot, and the cases are still in my mind, and I've noticed I'm drawing and I'm driving and I'm still thinking at some cases, or I'm biking, or even if I go out and I have a chat with some friends or something, sometimes they still pop up in my mind. So maybe it's normal, but hearing this story from the lady from the hospital is like, oh, I do not have this. This I have no idea. And I said, but when you try to sleep and then maybe it comes in your mind. No sleep, it's sleep. And I think this is something about Dutch people, you know, that it's, they are, okay, now it's sleeping time. They fall asleep immediately, which is not happening in my family or so. So now it's eating time. We don't think of anything. It's just eating time. So I think I have to learn from this as well. This is something else that I feel when I ended up in a certain country or a certain city, I always feel I have to learn something from the people, from the city environment, from, you know, so I take it like this, like, okay, maybe I do not like it, but maybe it's something that I can learn from this.
I think it's also very, like, as you said, like, it's a cultural thing, you know, like, Dutch people are more individual, like, the culture is more individualistic and focused on yourself than maybe Romanian culture.
Which is not bad, you know, but I come from another culture. We care, you know, like we care about the neighbors. We care if they are, I see how my parents are living, you know, when I go back home, neighbors are visiting every single day, you know, and they like take care of each other and to see if they are healthy. And if I remember during COVID time, one got COVID, so my mom used to cook twice per day and put the food in front of the door. and trying to app and see if they are okay, if they have high temperature. So it's like they really take care of each other, you know, something that I didn't find in the Netherlands. I don't know.
I'm Jewish and our culture is really similar. A few years ago, my foster dad died. And our Jewish people have a 7-day mourning period.
Yeah, where, we have 40.
Ah, okay. So where family and friends come every single day mm-hmm. and bring food mm-hmm. and come sit with you and talk. Mm-hmm. And I was there for like 2 weeks for the funeral and everything. And we didn't have to cook at all. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Like the amount of food was unbelievable. And my foster mom, she like... all her friends and everything for months invited her out. Even still now, it's been 2 years. That woman literally is busier than me. And she's like 76. So
yeah,
people just really, really
care. They care for each other. Yeah, and the same also in Romania. If a family members pass away, then you try to take care of the other members. So it's from this perspective, for me, sometimes it's hard here, you know, because it's hard because I have a I can compare the things, you know, because if I wouldn't have this in Romania, then I said, okay, this is all I know and I see. But yeah, it's different. So sometimes I miss this open heart moments or situation, or I don't know. It's, yeah, from this perspective, it's very different.
And we're not saying we hate the Netherlands. It's just we naturally compare.
Yeah.
We don't purposely be like, oh, you know, it's better in one country or the other. No, it's just like naturally, if you live somewhere else, you're going to compare. Like it's going to come to your head.
But also in the same time, you're going to compare. But for example, I try to compare, but also I try to understand, you know, okay, I cannot have expectation. They don't know these kind of things. So yeah, it's different.
Yeah, and you can't expect them to know something that they literally never ever heard of or never seen.
Yeah,
you know,
this is something else also that it also comes from my culture. I think from I grew up with my father knew how to build a house out, how to make clothes, how the only thing I never saw him, it was cooking, but this was my mom's things. But so I grew up with somebody that is good at everything, you know. So, and something that I've noticed here in Dutch people, maybe I'm wrong, I don't know, but they are super good in their field, what they have studied, you know, at work and everything. But if you try to expand a bit, it's like, no, it doesn't really, you know. And for me, it's a bit shocking. It's like, okay, because I know my father knew everything, you know. So we never had to call somebody to help us or to do something. But I understood at a certain point that it's a lot about the culture, how you grew up, what you saw during your childhood, and it's different.
And no matter where you live, like how you act and how you interact, a lot of it has to do with your upbringing. Even if, let's say, I grew up in Romania and all my friends grew up in Romania, that doesn't mean we would act exactly the same way as Anna Maria.
No.
Because your upbringing has a lot to do with, you know, your culture. Like I'm 26 and all of my friends are older, all of them. And everyone's like, oh my God, you're so young. But the thing is, like, because of how I grew up, like, I don't feel like I'm 26. I feel like I'm 36, you know?
Oh.
Not like, oh, I'm tired.
No.
But more like mentally,
yes.
I don't relate to people my age because their maturity level is just different. Not everybody, obviously.
No. It's what you met and what you experienced, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So how you talk, how you communicate, how you think of other people, you know, it has to do with culture, but also with your upbringing.
Yes, indeed. It's, you learn these kind of things, you know, and I also learned that not to have too many expectations, because then you get either hurt, either frustrated, and I also learned that no, it's also an answer, you know. So yes, it's interesting. But yeah, There are moments when I miss being home. But I think what I miss more is not especially being back in Romania, but I miss seeing my parents every week. Like, I don't know, going for a dinner with them once a week or twice a week. So this kind of things related to my family, not especially to the country, but related to the family and the friends and the people I know in Romania, you know. So I was thinking, if I will bring my parents here, it's going to be the same. If I will still feel that I miss something, and I say no, but then my parents won't be happy here.
Yeah, and they would be shocked by everything. And imagine adjusting at 30 versus adjusting at 70. Yeah. Like, it's even harder.
Yeah, so no, but I do miss this because also my parents-in-law pass away. So it's like, I feel like, yeah, sometimes I really feel alone because I don't see the parents-in-law, you know, or my parents. And I was talking with my husband saying that it would be nice to be able to travel every once a week, you know, out and back.
That would be amazing.
Because I have a direct flight from Eindhoven to my city, so just 2 hours, but it's expensive, so you cannot do this. But we consider that maybe upcoming years we might move back to Romania or something. I don't know, because my parents-in-law passed away, and we were spending time. We were in Abu Dhabi for 5 years, so we came here, and my father-in-law lived for a couple of more months, and he passed away. And I feel that, I don't want this to happen with my parents as well. Of course, if they get sick or something, I can hear about it and I can go back to Romania and spend some time with them. But it's different than if they see you, not daily, but a couple of times per week or something. And I think I would like to spend time with my parents because they are not so young anymore. They are 70 plus. So I would like them to know that we are there next to them, you know, in the last years of their life. I don't know if this will be a real plan or not, but I already started to think of this because I don't have any brothers or sisters.
Oh, wow.
So this makes a huge difference, you know. And yeah, they are not alone or things like they have a lot of friends. And indeed, sometimes they are more active than we are. And they have more relations and everything. But nothing compares with the fact that, you know, your child is there, you know. So I start to think of this already, you know. So this is something, yeah, it's...
What does your Dutch husband think of Romania? Like, has he ever lived there? I'm sure he's visited.
Yeah, he never lived. We didn't live there, but I think it's more than 10 years since we are together already. So he visited me many times before I moved to the Netherlands. Yeah, he likes, you know, but he already knows my city. He knows everything in the city, so it's nothing excited about this. But the fact that he doesn't understand the language, and my friends, some of them, they are speaking English. But for example, my relatives, they do not speak English. So when we go somewhere, yeah, I have to translate or something. So he really likes, I think you heard, the Transylvania part. Of yes. Romania. So we've been there, we visited. So he likes that area. And it's not wow, but he knows that I come from Romania, and maybe one day he has to adapt more. For example, we go there, he doesn't like the food. Even my mom cooks the best dishes ever. And yeah, he's like more, let's go to the mall or the food court and everything, you know. Actually, he doesn't say it, but you can read it on his face. And he tries to eat my mom's food and everything. Because every time I say to him, now we go back to Romania or we go on holiday, let's eat healthy. We don't go out, you know, because my mom is cooking everything. It's healthy and it's good. And he's trying, but you can see that it's not his favorite part. So, yeah, it's... But he can easily adapt because he's He's a person that travels for his work all over the world, and quite often. He can easily adapt. Yes.
That's so funny that he doesn't like the food, because like one of our friends, she's Romanian, and you know, we go to her house for Christmas, so she always makes Romanian food.
Oh.
And Kevin loves sarmale, and I love sarmale. Like,
yeah,
it's so
he will eat it if they are with meat. My mom cooks also vegetarian food.
Oh, okay.
So then I think he won't eat it, but for the rest, if they prepared it, then I think you, the sarmale you had, they were not vegetarian.
No, definitely not.
No. So, but it's the same, you can make the field paprika. It's the same thing, only you put
we
it
in.
We
do it in Russian culture too,
yes,
actually.
So, no, he's not fun into it. And I... Yeah, if we go there, we need to buy the butterham and everything that is here, you know. So, at least to have him for the breakfast.
So, Carnival is coming up.
Carnival is coming.
Tell me, what do you think of Carnival? Do you celebrate it?
Well, my husband is away during the Carnival time. He's working actually in another country. So I will be, I will try to make something with my friends, but they don't really like Carnival. And what I like about the Carnival is the parade. I always like to see it. And I'm thinking, oh my God, these people, they work 1 year. You know, because it takes 1 year to prepare all the things. And I always like to get dressed, especially for the carnival. Only it's always very cold, so you need to wear a winter jacket on so you don't see the carnival. And last year, it was so funny. I was looking forward for the carnival, and I bought a Cleopatra thing, and we got COVID for
shit.
The first time.
Oh, no.
So... it was, I like this carnival thing, that you get some free days as well.
Yes. Because we live in Brabant, so we actually get free time.
Yeah.
Not everyone, but a lot of people.
But I'm not with the part with that everybody's drunk and they go, my husband says, carnival, it's about drinking. And I'm like, no, carnival, it's about nice costumes and colorful moments. And I know a lot of people like to celebrate in the bars and go in the evening, which is part of the carnival. This is it. So I do not care about it too much because I don't drink alcohol. So for me, it's something that, but I like it. I don't know.
That's a good thing.
I like to see it. But it's, for example, my husband, he doesn't like the carnival. Even he's from Breda, you know, so he's... But yeah, he doesn't like. But I like to see you, and you. I always see the children's face. You know, they are so amazing. Well, all frozen because of the thing. It's a nice moment for me. So I look forward. Actually, yesterday I was in the city a bit to see if I can find some things that I don't know, to cover my hair or something, because I know it's going to be cold. So I want to. But I always like, and I think I feel like it's a relaxed moment for everybody in the North Brabant. So everybody's like looking forward to see the parade, at least, you know.
I'm definitely looking forward to the parade, but I don't like all the drunk people. Like, that really bothers me.
Yeah, but you don't see them during the day, right?
Here they already started celebrating Carnival.
Oh, I know it was in Breda, like pre-carnival or something in the center.
Yeah, like pre-carnival. Like,
but there it's in one evening. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I saw them and I didn't pay attention, but I think I thought more comes in the evenings.
They like pass by my house. They're like really loud, which I love to see their costumes, but I just don't see the point of like getting shit-faced drunk every day.
I see it. I'm telling you. Dear, it's very cold. So if you don't get drunk, you will freeze. So I see it like this. Okay, you put some alcohol in your body so the body stays warm and you can enjoy the carnival. So
thank you so much for coming to talk to me today, Anna Maria.
I enjoy it.
I'm happy to hear that. If you want to support this podcast, just follow me on social media at Scribble a Dream. And as you guys know, I fund this podcast through my business. So if you need help with writing, editing, translating, or content creation, just send me an email, sara@sarawrites.com, or share my info with other people. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week for a new podcast episode. Bye.
Bye.